Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
I used to wake up crying in the morning. Like, I'd wake up crying. I had this anxiety and I was on antidepressants for 10 years. And then when I was on carnivore, I was like, what have I been doing my whole life? Like, literally, this is insane. I feel great. I did this 1 month carnivore and no anxiety. I lost 10 pounds, fuller than I had ever been in my whole life. Realized what being full felt like, and everything just changed. For the first time in years, I was like, oh my God, I have free thought. There's this brain fog that I think most people in America have, and it's real. And until you don't have it, you don't know that you have it. A couple of the girls on the trip ended up changing to carnivore. They had hormone issues. All of them are gone. Every single one of their hormone issues are gone since that. It's like insane, right? Until you try it, it sounds crazy.
Life is so much better with gratitude, right? It's so much better.
Oh my God. It's like, and when it comes naturally, when you don't have to force it, right? Like,
right. It's real.
Whoa. You're like, geez, I just really am grateful.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome Lauren to the channel. Welcome, Lauren. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, Carrie? Everything is good here. How about you?
Doing really good, doing really well. Looking forward to chatting with you and learning more about your story. Maybe if we could start out, could you tell me a little bit about your journey? Maybe what led you to a carnivore diet, health issues you've had, things like that?
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's probably pretty relatable to a lot of people out there, really. My whole life, I would say, like, maybe since I was 10 or 11, I had weird relationship with food. I was always very like aware of my body image, which is typical of most American girls, right? And it was I think when I was like 15 or 16, I really started developing more eating disorder issues. The problem was that I was always hungry, and I just like could never get full. And so that persisted up through college. And then at one point, I was like 100 pounds. I remember I would like look at the scale every single day. It was like almost a competition. I'm a very competitive person. Like, but yeah. And so like the lower drop, it was almost like a reward. And I got like under 100 and I'm 5'7". Like that's pretty, I'm 150 right now. And I'm pretty like normal looking healthy. And, so I wasn't emaciated or anything like, or, you know, and nothing like that, that I was just terrible. But it was, my mental health was so bad that I couldn't sleep. You've talked about this, I know, but I had really bad anxiety, really, really bad anxiety. That's obviously lack of nutrition, but I had anxiety, I think, from that age on, like college and on. I dropped out of college and ended up going back eventually, but it was only because it was like, it just, yeah, I went back and it just was going through the motions. And then my whole life up until I was probably mid 20s, I had this anxiety and I was on antidepressants for 10 years, all of that, eating disorders still, all of that you think sounds kind of basic, but it really rules your entire life, right? Your social life. Do you eat out at dinners? Do you have friends over? What do you think about all that? And then I discovered carnivore, and it was the first time in my whole life that I was full from eating a normal amount of food. In fact, I ate more than I was used to eating, and I actually ended up, I was running trails. I trail run too. And in 1 month, I ended up losing like 10 pounds, but I was so full. And this is post me being like really anorexic and that kind of stuff. This was me normally eating, trying to have a standard American diet. And with that, I couldn't like, you know, lose weight, air quotes, or like be fit or look the way I wanted to look, really. And I did this 1 month carnivore and no anxiety. I lost 10 pounds, fuller than I had ever been in my whole life. Realized what being full felt like, and everything just changed completely. Yeah.
How did you find carnivore?
Yeah, it was cool. My best friend, he actually found it. He found it online. I think it was on YouTube, and he told me about it. And I was like, okay, well, that's weird. Like, I'll just do it. I just sort of like winged it. I was like, cool, let's just try it for a month. And it wasn't, I had no expectations. Like, I didn't try it as an attempt to like do anything really. It was kind of, he was doing it and we were super close. So I was like, cool, I'll do it with you. And I already ate so restrictive that it wasn't like that big of a leap for me to do that. It seemed, even though to most people, it seems really, really, really restrictive. I was like, oh, whatever. Like, I'll try it. And then it just worked out.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Cause most people are like, this is insane. This is crazy. Like, I'm not doing that. And you're like, well, let's give it a try and see what happens.
Yeah. It's literally that. So it worked out.
Was there a point after doing carnivore where like a turning point or whoa, this is something different than I've ever sort of experienced before?
Well, yeah, I mean, up front, the craziest thing was I would wake up, I think it was day six. I would wake up like ready to go. After like it was like 5.5, 6 hours of sleep. I would wake up just naturally. And I was also, I'm not anymore, but I've always, I think what goes hand in hand a lot of times with people who have a standard American diet is you're addicted to coffee. And I'm a director of sales. So like you sales and coffee kind of go hand in hand. And I was unable to handle as much coffee as I typically do. It was overwhelm. And yet I was waking up way earlier and my whole energy was way longer, just throughout the day. And I was trail running. And I was doing my full-time job and all these things. And it just, that was day six. But then the thing is like, it just keeps going from there. It compounds from there. So like moments of just change, like, yeah, I mean, realizing you're full, like, I think a lot of people can relate to the first time they realize when they're not anxious anymore. I remember that moment. It was when I was on antidepressants in college. I got on them and I was like, for the first time in years, I was like, oh my God, I have free thought. Obviously that didn't last. And then when I was on carnivore, I had that same experience of just like, whoa, I feel really happy, really happy and really light and good. And that was pretty profound.
Do you remember roughly, I always ask people this, it's interesting, like several carnivores seem to have something happen around 3 weeks. Not that your necessarily depression or anxiety goes away, but where they're like, I feel so much better now. And it's usually around 3 weeks. Just out of curiosity, do you remember anything around like 3 weeks or so?
I have to say not specifically around 3 weeks, because I remember that it was summertime and I was going to concerts. I was in Denver, Colorado at the time. So I was just, I think all around that whole first month, kind of elated in general. So nothing in that stands out to me, but I do know that for a lot of times it's the gut microbiome that's helping to heal quite a bit after the 3 week point. Right. And that's probably a lot to do with it. So yeah, I would say, not specific, but for those 3 weeks, but that whole month, probably the last 2 weeks was just the best I felt. Did you have that 3 week experience?
I did. Yeah. Okay. I still had depression and anxiety, but like around 3 weeks, a lot of the anxiety went away and I just noticeable, there was some, it's hard to put a finger on, but it was like, something is happening here that I've never felt before. This is crazy. Yeah. And what you just said is so true. It took me a long time to learn this. And I think we don't really understand our gut microbiome very much. Like we understand a little bit, but I think that's exactly what happens right around 3 weeks. You have a big die-off. That's been one of my big epiphanies on this whole journey. I feel like the majority of humanity is walking around with just damaged, broken guts from glyphosate and sugar and all this junk we're eating. And most of us end up healing. Like, I don't think there's any way to heal it better than a carnivore diet. So a lot of people have that sort of, whoa, what's going on kind of thing 3 weeks into it. But
yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, a lot of the start of how I got into this and why I see the success is, like, I'm an athlete. I have always been an athlete, and a lot of athletes, unfortunately, tend to have eating disorders, men and women, right? Like, cause you're very heavy, your body's constantly in your mind, right? Like, your gut microbiome is totally jacked up if you're just having all of this, like, these different protein drinks with a billion different ingredients in them. The company I worked at before the one I'm at now, I worked with all Division I athletes and a couple former pro, and we just slammed protein drinks like all day. And, you know, I would say it now, I think all of us, they were men, I was the only girl. And like, I think we all had a version of an eating disorder, but you think about it now, I'm like, dang, if we would have just done carnivore, you know, that makes so much, we were just slamming protein shakes. We were always hungry and uncomfortable. Now I just do protein and I'm not hungry or uncomfortable. Right. It's like,
right.
Why don't we just do that?
Right. Yeah. You have these epiphanies afterwards. Like, geez, what was I doing? It's crazy.
Yeah.
So what was it like, in terms of the food? It sounded like it was pretty easy for you, but did you have any issues at all or anything, like just going full on meat? Did you do eggs and bacon? Like, what kind of version of carnivore were you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. So I did full on eggs. I was just eggs, bacon, and ground beef. I did try liver. I still have liver now, but my first round, I was like, ugh, it's disgusting. but you get used to it more so, for sure. You don't need that much of it. I came to learn. And immediately, actually, when I realized 1 month in, I became a carnivore coach pretty much immediately. And this was before, like, it was like really popular. I think Ken Berry had like something like 50,000 subscribers or something like that. It was earlier on. And so what I was cooking was just pretty much beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, like he talks about. The thing is, I because I didn't have an experience of cooking very much, I was really lucky. My mom grew up owning 3 restaurants, so I always had like food available if I wanted it. I didn't really learn or need to cook. So I think a lot of people experience that. Like, I struggled with just like, how do you know, oh my God, I don't cook. The cool thing about carnivore is you don't need to really know how to cook that well. Like, you know, it's kind of learn to cook a good steak, which is pretty straightforward. A lot of women don't know how to cook a great steak because I think the marketing has often before now been salads for women. Men, you know, cook a good steak. But like, if you learn to cook a steak, you cook bacon, you cook eggs, ground beef, some shrimp, you know, some fish here and there, it's easy. So I had to overcome that, I think, block. And then I was like, oh, this is pretty straightforward and it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's like, I don't know if you had anything like that, but that's how it was for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get into a flow. And then for me, oftentimes I'll eat the same thing over and over again, which sounds boring to the outsider, but it's like, I still look forward to it every time I'm eating a steak, even if it's the same one I ate before, but
every time.
Yeah. How long ago was that? Like, how long have you been doing carnivore for now?
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
Like 5 years, something like that. 5 or 6 years. Yeah, a long time. So, and it's been great. I've been learning a lot, talking with people just about what their experiences have been, coaching people. I've dabbled with the whole meat-based, animal-based approach as well in that process, just to see how I feel. And then strict carnivore. And for me, I actually feel best strict carnivore, to tell you the truth. It's just something that seems to click for me, but I've gone through, you know, different variations. So it hasn't been 5 years, one, you know, pure carnivore, but it's been basically 5 years carnivore or animal based.
Right. Mm-hmm. What about your depression? did that start to subside? Like, do you kind of have like a timeline or
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of things mixed into that too. So I'll answer the question. I think too, like other things to keep in mind. I think that, carnivore, I used to wake up crying in the morning. Like I'd wake up crying. Like I just could not get past these feelings in my brain. It was like a prison, you know? And to wake up crying, it's like, that's a terrible way to start your day, of course, right? And then your whole day is just kind of like that. So when I implemented carnivore, I had already been improving on depression stuff before that, a lot due to lifestyle, getting in the sunshine, making new friends that are a little bit more aligned with me, going on walks, you know, not being so stuck on my phone all the time, or, you know, just that kind of stuff was already helping quite a bit. And then, yeah, the carnivore side, it's just, there's this brain fog that I think most people in America have. And it's real. And until you don't have it, you don't know that you have it really. And I think that's one of those things that we normalize so much, that isn't normal, you know, or people say like my depression or my anxiety, it's very popular among, you know, people my age, like 30s, young 30, early 30s, or I started this when I was in my 20s. They normalized that. And I got out of it and I was like, what have I been doing my whole life? Like literally, this is insane. I feel great. And it just kind of lifted. Again, it happened, I would say, within that, definitely that month was the biggest catapult. It was fast. It was like, kind of happened. And then it just got better and better. It gets better and better and better and better as you go.
That's incredible. The brain fog thing, I'm with you 100%. I knew I had brain fog before, but it's almost like the Matrix, right? You got to experience it. It's hard to describe to someone. There's so many people out there like, yeah, I have a little bit of brain fog. But once you get out of that fog and see so clearly, it's kind of sobering, because I started realizing most of humanity is going to go their entire lives and then they're going to die and they're never going to feel the way like you feel and I feel, just that clarity.
So wild.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say those words, because like this is how my progression actually went. And I wonder if a lot of people can relate to this on your channel, because I know a lot of people on my channel do. I kind of compare carnivore to, or like ultra processed foods, to the way culture in America treats drinking alcohol. And now I want to preface before I say this, I think to each his own. I don't think that alcohol is terrible for everybody. I don't think everybody should stop drinking, right? I do think people should all stop eating ultra processed foods for sure. But I stopped drinking before I discovered carnivore. And that was a huge hack for me in life. I was just a normal social drinker. And I was somebody who just had, you know, Friday, Saturday drinks, but I'd be hungover for like 3 or 4 days. And I sort of equate the carnivore lifestyle to that, right? Like when you're hungover, you're like, you're just not you. You're just uncomfortable. It's miserable. You're just off. It's just that fog. It's that lifts when you do carnivore. That's what goes away. Right. You know, and the other thing that's kind of fascinating about the carnivore thing is I also believe it helps people who have addiction to alcohol. I'm 1000% on that. And the reason is because plants will basically break down into sugars in your body, even if you're having a plant-based, not just plant-based, but like carbs will break down into sugars, and alcohol will break down into sugars in your body. So the two do the same thing in the liver. And so a lot of people, when they stop doing carnivore, or when they start doing carnivore, and let's say stop drinking, because you can't really drink on carnivore, they don't crave alcohol anymore, or they don't want it, right? And so suddenly you get this like community, the society of people who their whole lives have been kind of numbing out through life, whether that's through ultra processed foods or because they're just, it's normal to drink every Friday and Saturday and then be hungover Monday, Tuesday, whatever. And you think that's normal and then you don't do it. And you're like, holy crap. I'm really happy and I'm saving a lot of money, a lot of time. All of it is just kind of this spiral effect, but in an upward spiral.
Right. It's so interesting. You're right. There's a lot of commonalities between the two, because when you drink alcohol, you get intoxicated. You're a little bit impaired. I feel like on the standard American diet, we're a little impaired as well. Like you mentioned, with the brain fog or the fatigue, or you get home and you just plop down on the couch after a big meal and you're not doing anything. Not necessarily because you're tired, but you are, you're fatigued, you're brain fogged. You're like, you've just had enough. You're almost like a shadow of the person you could be. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing with the food stuff though, is it's like most people are that every single day, their entire lives. It's almost like you're going through your whole life, just mildly, just a little drunk, just a little buzz your entire life.
Yeah.
And never seeing clearly. It's crazy. It's so interesting what you're saying about the addiction too. That makes sense. What you're saying. I've also heard, I've interviewed so many carnivores at this point, and so many of them seem to overcome other addictions as well on carnivore. I don't know the mechanism behind it or if it's a coincidence, but I talked to like Todd Bachness. He was addicted to diet soda and chewing tobacco. He's like, it's just mm-hmm. gone. Like the addiction just goes away. It's like your brain is almost using that as a therapy or something. I don't know. I don't understand the reasoning behind it, but it seems like most carnivores, just whatever addiction, even as like gambling or things like that, I hear people say goes away as well.
Well, you know, I interviewed a woman called, her name is Anna Lemke. She's an author of a book called Dopamine Nation, and a really fascinating woman. And her book is really interesting. She was on Joe Rogan actually years ago talking about it, cause it was just like pretty impactful. And I've looked into this quite a bit because I've had alcoholism in my family. And like when I stopped drinking, it was the same kind of epiphany of like carnivore. We were like I was saying, oh my God, you know, this is pretty great. Even if you socially drink, right? And the reason for, I think, the carnivore like addiction stuff being carnivore helping to minimize addiction, from my understanding, is I think carnivore helps regulate dopamine in a way that dopamine gets messed around with this ultra processed foods. So basically dopamine in our brain has like a balance to it. It's like, it can go up and it can go down, but it has like a baseline, which is here. And so, you know, when we do hard things, it slowly kind of ticks it up, like working out, you get dopamine that releases and it's like, you know, goes up, but then the body kind of like brings it back down and it kind of goes a little bit below baseline and then it has to slowly get back up. So it kind of is this seesaw thing. With ultra processed foods, it is such a fast release that they're designed to trigger dopamine to make us addicted. That's on purpose, right? But it's such a fast release that it just goes and it shoots up really fast with no work involved at all. And what goes up for this particular situation is it must come down. And so it shoots down. And because it shoots down, that's when you're like craving. I need more. With just meat, you don't get that boom high and then the drop low. It really keeps you pretty close to baseline.
Right.
So you're not craving that dopamine the way that you would otherwise with ultra processed foods. Hopefully I explained that. Okay. But that, does that make sense?
No, it's good. It fits the puzzle too. Like just this carnivore zen we all tend to get. We're just like chill and kind of stable, a lot more stable on carnivore for sure.
Yeah.
So you've been doing this for around 5 years now. Mm-hmm. You said it keeps getting better and better, which I love to hear. There's a lot of people that are scared to start carnivore. What about the longevity? What about doing this? Do you anticipate you're going to be doing this the rest of your life?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that carnivore is, I think people could look at carnivore in a way that might be a little bit different than how it might be given to them, like just through social media or whatever. Like it's almost a Trojan horse in my eyes for helping people to see that a lot of ultra processed foods are like killing people, truly. So whether somebody wants to try carnivore and do it for like 3 months, or they want to do it for a lifetime, they're going to see a positive impact from that. You know, they're going to, in my opinion, everybody should trial that out and just try it and know that you don't have to do it for like a whole lifetime. A lot of people don't, right? A lot of people do it as an elimination diet to get their gut microbiome healthy again. And then they slowly reintroduce foods. That's an option too. it's more of like just, I think it's the process of just like elimination at first. Like, I think a lot of life from what I learned is like, what can you eliminate, you know, versus what can you add on? A lot of the times it's like, you know, what can you prioritize? And in this situation, we're prioritizing real food. That's what we're doing. And, we're also going to prioritize understanding what causes inflammation. And so it's not carnivore. It's just figuring out what causes inflammation. And so starting out carnivore, getting your gut microbiome healthy again, you know, will allow that good bacteria and that bad bacteria to come back. And then if somebody doesn't want to continue carnivore, that's fine. Add in one thing at a time, right? And go from there. That's not what I choose to do because I feel super amazing
right.
on carnivore and I'm going to stick with it. But a lot of people can do that and that's okay.
Right. Yeah, that was the approach I took too. I'm like, I can't just eat meat. That's crazy. I'm just going to do an elimination diet. It was the same thing, but just rephrasing that helped me. And I said, day 31, I'm going to go back to moderation or healthy keto, but I just felt so good. I tell people the same advice. I'm like, just do it for 30 days and then you can go back to whatever you were doing before. Cause it seems like everyone that does it for 30 days feels incredible. they don't want to stop.
I've converted so many people.
Right.
I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. This was wild. I did Mount Kilimanjaro a month or two ago. And so it's in Africa. It's the largest freestanding mountain in the world, right? To keep a very long story short, I ended up fainting on the mountain because of somebody was smoking nicotine and it like got in me and I fainted on the mountain because I'm really sensitive to nicotine. That's why I don't smoke it. And basically I ended up going back up the mountain I ended up getting a stick in my mouth, in my face. And it went all the way through, almost through my cheek. It's like the fact that you can't see this right now is insane. But inside my mouth, I look like the Joker. Like it's like all cut up. And I had 24 stitches here. This was like 2 months ago. And busted my lip open. I went down, got stitches, and ended up going back up the mountain. And instead of doing it in 6 days, I did it in 4 days, which was awesome. And I surprised my friends at the top. We didn't have cell phones, so they didn't know I was going to be there. And I get back to America and they go to the ER and the doctor who's a specialist, he just looks at me, he's like, we got to get this figured out, restitch. So he restitches it again. I go back in 3 weeks because it's just this huge hole in my face. And he's like, what are you eating? You're healing like so fast.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. And he's like, yeah, I've got to like give you like steroids to stop the body from healing so fast. And from that, a couple of the girls on the trip ended up changing to carnivore because I talked to them about it and they had hormone issues. All of them are gone. Every single one of their hormone issues are gone since that. It's like insane, right? So it kind of speaks for itself. It's like they saw how well I did on this trip, climbing it with an injury and then recovery afterwards and everything. And they're like, maybe I should try that. And it's changed their whole situation too.
That's amazing. That ripple effect's crazy because now they're going to end up inspiring someone else and then so on and so on. So that's a great story. So those individuals over the 5 years you've been doing this, have there been other people or friends or family or anyone else that you've influenced or noticed kind of big change in?
Yeah. You know, I would say that it's one of those things where you have to be kind of like ready, I think, for you just have to wait for people to come to you. I think, I don't try to push my way of eating on anybody. I think that like, if somebody it's more of attraction versus a promotion, let's just say. So when people see that I'm healthy and I'm happy and I'm feel good, you know, and I wake up early and all that, they notice that. And then they ask me about it and I talk to them about it. So I've had like, family for sure, like cousins talk to me about it and then start implementing it. I've had it with a lot of friends as well who are just curious for their own reasons. Maybe they want to lose weight. But, you know, a lot of people, there's still, I think, a stigma too to like a lot of this, right? I think a lot of people could relate to that until you try it, it sounds crazy. It really does. It just sounds crazy. Because it's just so off what everybody else is doing. So I wait for people to come to me. And then when they do, they come around and they love it. And then they stick with it. And, you know, the reality is too, for some people, they have to try different things within carnivore, right? Like the lion diet, which I know you've kind of played around with as an example, versus like just straight carnivore. There's things within that, nuances within that, that then people try. But yeah, it's been a lot of people over the last 5 years when they're ready to ask and hear about it.
Right. And what motivated you to jump into the coaching so early?
It was just so life-changing. I think about it. We have so many people out there who are just so freaking miserable. Like, I was miserable, right? Like, my whole life since I was 11 up until mid-20s at that point, I struggled with an eating disorder. And if you don't know what an eating disorder is like, it's just like really intense kind of OCD where you're just hyper focused on how many calories is that? You know, how many did I eat today? You're constantly starving yourself. So to be starved all the time, it affects your brain, right? Like how you think. It's always on the mind. You're avoidant with food. Like there's just like a prison. And then you're because of that, you lack nutrients, you're anxious. So I was just so anxious all the time. I was just so anxious that when this all came to me, it was just like that liberating. I was like, this is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. I just knew it because it was that impactful. And it is like, it's that huge. It's growing thanks to people like you, you know, and you're putting your documentary out there too, to share with people what this is doing for them. It's just going to only get more and more. It's just going to get bigger with all of this.
Yeah. So you have a YouTube channel too. Can you talk a little bit about that? You've had some epic debates on your channel. You've had some really interesting guests. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? And maybe like, what are some memorable videos that you've done? Mm-hmm. Anything you have on that?
Yeah. So, yes, I do have a YouTube channel. I sort of like segued into the carnivore. It wasn't about carnivore. And then I started talking about it because it was so impactful in my life. And that's a lot of where it's gone. So that was another example of just like, it kind of catapulted into that part of my life too. Yes, I did host debates. I frequently host debates between different really experts in their field. I did one with, I don't know if you saw the one with Siegfried, with him. And yeah, he did one against the guy who was like kind of leading the charge a bit against cancer's genetic disease.
I have to watch that one. I think I've seen most of yours, but I haven't seen that one. I'd love to watch that one because we interviewed Professor Siegfried for the documentary.
Yeah, really interesting, right? Like, because it was this guy who's like, oh, it's just a, you know, genetics, basically. He wrote the book, like the textbook on that. Oh. And then Siegfried did the opposite, of course. It says it's metabolic disease, since this is, you know, cellular, an issue with the mitochondria, all of that, right? So I get to have these conversations with these people. And I do that because I think we're all learning. One of the benefits I think that carnivore kind of has revealed to me is like, or not the benefits, one of the realities, I guess, that carnivore has revealed to me is that we are all learning, and like science is ever changing and growing and evolving. And I think it's important to not become so dogmatic. So when I host these, a lot of my channel, I try to give a different take, maybe a perspective. I talk very clearly about carnivore, how to do carnivore, how to make it happen, how it's changed my life. I talk about life without drinking, how that's changed my life. And then the debates are there for people to make up their own minds, to not be dogmatic and to think for themselves, like actually think. You know, like, what do you think when you hear a vegan doctor who's extremely reputable going head to head with Ken Berry or Sean Baker or Dr. Chafee, right? We tend to worship people. It's weird. Like, we just do, like people who are like on these pedestals, but do we challenge what they're saying? And that goes for everything. So when I was learning, I was like, I want to know, like, what Ken Berry, why is this a thing? Like genuinely. And I don't want to hear the answer. I want you to be asked by a scientific person, like someone who understands, you know, what's going on biochemically and not just a consumer, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Have any of these debates swayed you or changed your minds in different areas? I guess I'm interested, of course, of like the plant-based versus carnivore stuff.
Yeah, that's such a good question. Yeah, they have. I think, I do think that at the end of the day, anybody can be healthy, even if they're doing a mostly like a plant-based diet or a carnivore diet. I do believe that, because you see that there are so many people who find health, even just from a plant-based diet. From doing like six of these, though, I found out the one thing that everybody does agree on for sure. The one thing is you cannot and should not have ultra-processed food in your diet at all. And when you remove that, you are like 50,000 steps closer than you will ever be, even if you just eat plants. Now, the other thing I found interesting was with plants, like I said, I think we're going to discover one day pretty soon that plants, in fact, are sentient. I think that's going to be a thing. So, you know, we'll leave that as it is. But I do think that with a lot of the plant-based doctors and the vegans, they talk about, what is it called? Like fermenting plants is a lot of actually what people do in like Eastern medicine approach to help people if they're going to use plants. And so I think when you ferment plants, you kill off a lot of the chemicals that might be harmful to humans. So if somebody is going to have plants, it could be a good approach to ferment them versus just eating them raw is something that I came up and found that was pretty interesting to me. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. It's very interesting too, because I've been learning more about fermenting and things like that. And yeah, my whole thing with the plants is kind of exactly what you just said. I feel like glyphosate and pesticides and all this stuff on the plants, let alone like the defense mechanisms in the plants, are way worse for us than we realize. But it's sort of a tolerable, slow thing that we all walk around with leaky gut and we're all mildly depressed and anxious. It's hard to measure, but that's yeah. That's my worry with the plant stuff. And it feels like carnivore is kind of the opposite of that. But it's interesting. I thought like early on, like, this is so simple. I'm just doing carnivore. And then the deeper I go, I'm learning so much more, especially when you start digging into gut bacteria, gut biome. I don't think we really even understand very much of that, but I think that's a big piece of the puzzle as well.
Yeah. And you know, the thing with plants too, is like, I don't think that there's any reason to like demonize the whole vegan or plant-based community. I think that's silly. Like, there's just this way that people have about doing that, because it's like we see it differently, right? But with the vegan community, plant-based community, like, they're all trying to do the same thing. They want to be healthy and happy, right? And that's important to acknowledge. What everybody is doing, the one main thing that everybody's doing, is removing ultra-processed foods. That is the one thing, that because these people are getting good results. Now, what I will say is you got to eat a lot more and a lot more often on a plant-based diet. Holy crap. Like, it's like a lot of work, you know, whereas on carnivore, it's just so easy. You just like, you get your protein, you get your fat, throw in a little bit of like organ meats in there. If you really want to optimize and do your best, like, you know, this much or something a week, it's not much, and you're good. Like, you and I were talking about, like, cooking food is super easy. Right.
Yeah.
That was another thing I learned, is like, you don't really have to measure that much in carnivore compared to, like, you know, you got to get B12 or whatever in vegan, and you can't find that anywhere. So
yeah, that's one of my favorite things with carnivore, not measuring the food, the recipes, the carbs, the calories. It's like, just eat till you're full. Like, it's great. It's just the most sort of natural thing.
Totally.
Have you had any sort of big, like, I disconnected from the matrix, carnivore realization, epiphanies? Sorry, loaded question. But you see the world differently now. Do you, like, big food, big pharma, do you have any thoughts on all of that? Do you think see things differently? Or in other words, how did we get to this place where so many people are so sick?
Yeah, it's a really good way to pose that question. Okay, so I see a lot of things through the frame of sales. So I'm a sales director at a Fortune 500 company, and my career is in sales. So, like, that's my full-time job. I love sales. I think it's great. But if you look through that lens, you know, you can start to understand things maybe in a way that in my opinion, makes things make more sense. So I think that if we're going to go all the way back to, you know, when tallow was cooked, used to cook with, then we got seed oils, basically Crisco came up. The value of changing from animal fat to Crisco was that it was more cost effective. It was cheaper, right? It has a longer store, like a shelf life. If you think about why we had, why we have shelved milk, or like I call it shelf milk, but it's basically like grocery store milk, you know, where it's processed. That was a lot of it for a good intention, right? It was to give food to soldiers at war, like early on. I think it was like 30s, 40s, right? So it we started with that to get milk overseas, basically to give calories. And we get back and we realize, wow, okay, milk lasts longer if we do it this way. So it's got a longer shelf life, which means you can sell more of it. You need to make less of it, right? So it's a larger profit margin. I think at the end of the day, when we look into what's going on, a lot of this, most of this has to go back to sales. And a lot of it, I think, may have started from a good place. Some of it, maybe not, right? But I think what's happened is that it started there and then it never was checked, let's say. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. It's like every single incentive is just solely money, and we don't look at our health or the what's potentially happening from it.
Yeah.
It's like business run amok, right? Like no one's paying attention and we're all getting sicker and sicker.
Yeah. And I mean, I see this in business too, right? Like you see big companies that like there's so many different departments doing different things all the time, thinking no one's talking to one another. Yeah. So what we see now in health is you have so many specialized lanes and no one's talking to each other. So I think if that's going back to big pharma, that's what I think. So like what I really think is it started out maybe with good intentions or maybe just to save money. And then the bad things maybe have been swept under the rug because it makes money to stick it like this. Like right. I think about it and I'm like, okay, if people are just a little bit sick, but not so sick, but just like a little bit sick, then they're going to need to go get medicine. And then that medicine's going to need to stay. And it kind of goes in this loop. But now it's gotten such a big problem that people are so sick that it's caught so much attention. And I think with like ultra processed foods, people like us want to sell a product. Human beings want to sell a product. We don't understand what these foods are doing to us. Like a lot of people just don't get it. You know, they don't get that. Like sometimes eating pasta all the time might not be great, or like having all of these ingredients in our food isn't great. Like a protein shake. I bet the guy who made the protein shake probably thinks he's doing a great thing, honestly.
Right.
You know, but he doesn't know that like there's a realness to nature and like the law of nature and stuff like that. Like if you're just going to kind of contort everything that we eat and manipulate it, it's going to potentially cause a manipulated outcome too. That's how I right. see it.
Yeah. And for some reason, us humans, we tend to normalize things. Maybe it's because we have that brain fog and we're just trying to preserve all the energy, but it's always just like, oh, it's just the way it's always been. It's like, no, it hasn't. Like people being as sick as they are right now, that's not the way it's always been, but it kind of happens slowly and people are getting heavier and sicker. We all just kind of accept it, and that's just the way it's been. It's hard to overcome when we have that mentality.
Totally. And at the end of the day too, like you have to think about it. It's all a big system. Everything feeds into itself, right? So it's kind of, we're up against it, right? You have to pay for healthcare, which ideally you never need, but you're paying in case something happens, and it shouldn't be like that, right? Like there's just a lot of things where we should have more attention to the nutrition to prevent the issue from happening in the first place. So if you're asking to summarize, I think it started in a lot of different ways, but I think it's perpetuated by a desire for sales, and that could be defined as greed. And some of it could be ignorance too, but I think the times are changing. The good news with all of this, where I think when we talk about that is like, it sounds like such a black hole of like despair and all that. It's really not. We actually literally just vote with our dollar. It's like the classic thing. Right. It's literally supply and demand, basic economics. Just don't buy the things anymore that make you sick. Don't eat them. Eat normal, real foods, and it'll, right. the that will perpetuate the market. It'll make it have to change, basically. And then also, I think with fewer people getting sick, you're going to have less need for a large healthcare system, right? You're not going to need them.
That was a big epiphany. I think you had Dr. Kevin Stock on your channel, right? Dentist. Mm-hmm. I had him on and he was telling me like, yeah, you really wouldn't need dentists other than if you like chipped your tooth. You would need no dentist if you ate this way. And then you're like, you think about healthcare. It's pretty much the same way. You need it for big interventions, but 90% of what people are going to the doctor for, you wouldn't need doctors anymore. Think about when you start thinking about that cost, it's just crazy. The amount of money being spent unnecessarily so that we can eat more processed foods and get more medication.
You're like, it really, the frame of reality that we have today is like so backwards from what it probably could be. Like if you remove processed foods, if people just ate carnivore or something close to it, let's say, you wouldn't need to go to the doctor that much. You wouldn't need to spend money on the pills and all of that. Therefore, the demand for those people to be there, like Dr. Ovidia, have you talked to him yet?
Yeah.
You know, he's always like, I don't want to see people. The heart doctor, he's like, I want to prevent them from getting here. So it's like you have fewer people needing it. Now we don't need to pay as many heart doctors. There's not as huge demand, and now healthcare is less expensive, if at all, right? Like the whole thing changes.
Yeah, the whole world changes, right?
Yeah.
When they're like, healthcare is so expensive. When you have this new perspective now, you're like, no wonder why we're not treating the root cause and we're giving medication to put on top of it and never deal with the root cause. And people just keep going back and getting more and more medication. It just perpetuates forever.
Perpetuates forever. And, you know, I think with the sales perspective I have on this too, is like for someone to really, really change their perspective on this and their reality, it's like pay attention to the advertising and the marketing that is thrown at us all the damn time. I mean, it's all the time. Like I talk about this a lot with drinking, you know, you look at this is a comparison. And so take it as you will for carnivore and ultra processed foods, let's say, but like, if you pay attention to like alcohol is alcohol, whatever it is, what it is, but there's different brands associated with it. And that's on purpose. That's to sell it. So like whiskey is like more country, you know, like a little bit more of that vibe, like home. It's just whiskey, but somebody created that story around it so that people in that kind of personality, they identified with that, would buy it. Scotch is a little bit more, it's different than whiskey. It's like a little more sophisticated kind of a thing, right? Like you're a little bit more bougie or whatever. Tequila is like party out, like go get a marg with the girls kind of thing. Like each has its place kind of, and that's a completely random story that a salesperson created
right,
for that thing to sell. And so we're used to that because that's just what we've always gotten. It's the same thing with ultra processed foods and with the food system and healthcare. We're just so used to it, but it's a sales pitch that someone created.
It's so true. We're bombarded too. I just returned from filming in the UK and they're not that far behind us. If you look at statistics and stuff like that, but it was a lot more chill over there. I noticeably, like, just watching TV here, you turn the TV on and it's just food, fast food commercials, and then pharmaceutical commercials. They don't even have them there. They don't have pharmaceutical ads there. It was weird just being there for a couple of days. I felt like I had a little reprieve from just getting bombarded with all of this stuff we do. It becomes normal too here in the US because we do it every single day, but we are really getting hit over the head over and over again. Or even just going to a small town and there's McDonald's, Burger King, Dunkin' Donuts, there's like Starbucks, every single one, even there was much less of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, John, I had this guest on, he's so incredible. Oh my God. John Abramson. He was on the largest, he was consulting with the FBI on the largest criminal case in US history. And they ended up settling with a big pharma company. And it was basically about the way that the medication was making people sick. But I had him on to talk about the advertising. I think it's America and New Zealand are the only countries in the entire world that are legally allowed to advertise pharmaceuticals. It's not legal anywhere else. That's why you didn't see it there. And so because of that, like we think that we're just like immune to advertisements. We're not. Like it's like such a real thing. the fact that we have these advertisements sent to us all the time, it's a very subconscious act of normalizing things. It's how sales is. It's touch points. Right. How much can you touch somebody with this message, or like even just hearing the name? If you hear it enough, you're comfortable with it. And then over time, what they call it is an adoption of the brand or of the product. And then you convert to a user or consumer. And so because America is allowed to have this advertising of big pharmaceuticals, we're just used to seeing it like those commercials. It's like, you know, side effects might be 25 minutes later.
Right. Like, and we're all fine with it. Okay. Well, I guess I'll try it.
Might cause death and severe depression. I'll give it a shot, I guess. Yeah. I think it's like we're just used to that.
Right.
But you would never do that if you heard that ad in another country and it was the first time you'd ever heard it. You'd be like, what the hell?
Right. Yeah. You know? The thing that really gets me is for me, I'm like, I'm a grown man now. I could just deal with it. I've healed myself. I can move on. But when you look at younger generations, like children, and we're getting them, just like you said, with the brand recognition and the sales pitch, hooked on cereal from a young age, they go through the grocery store, there's cartoon characters on it. It's like you get them hooked early, young. It's more money, whether it's intentional or it's just everything's optimized to that.
Yeah.
I think history is not going to look upon us kindly when we get a couple decades down the road. Like, what were we doing getting all these kids hooked from such a young age?
Yeah, it's going to change. I feel really optimistic about it, to tell you the truth. I think that it's going to, I think it's going to change a lot. I think that there's just this demand from people to change, and it's going to happen slowly, but it's going to happen in my opinion. But it's going to come from the ground up, really. Yeah. That's it. It's not going to be top down. So like what you're doing, what I'm doing, the people that we talk to are doing, I think is so important. And the people watching this is like, we need to have people to watch it for it to be impactful, right? Like for it to matter, to change, is it's going to come from those, all of us that are doing this. And it's really to save like little kids. Yeah. Like a little kid, like when I see a little obese, like 5-year-old or 6-year-old, just like breaks my heart, you know? Like, right. God, you just don't even know. You just set up. And then the parents don't know either. But I do think with supply and demand, again, like the best thing we can do is A, get the message out and make people aware, or at least really just be happy.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is, we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
I think at the end of the day, be happy and healthy, and that attracts people to see what you're doing. Yeah. That's the best sales pitch you could ever have, is just look good, feel good, do you. People want to know. And then from then on, it's like supply and demand does its thing, and it'll change right. I think, unless, I don't know. You think the same?
I do. I love how you said that, because I haven't thought about it that way. And when I first started Carnivore, I was over the top, like just wanted to tell, listen, like, this is it. You got to do this.
Right?
But you're absolutely right. Like that, you're like a walking billboard, just walking around and people see how healthy you are and how much you've changed.
Yeah,
that's going to inspire them more than anything. That was the reason for the documentary too. It's like, I'm not doing a documentary that's saying do carnivore or here's the science behind carnivore. We're going to have that in the documentary, but it's mostly just showing examples of other people that have found incredible healing that people mm-hmm. can relate to. Cause it's those stories, I think, that'll inspire people. Speaking of the documentary, we ask everyone this question, or I ask everyone this question. Our documentary is called Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. This is kind of a dumb question because I know your answer, but it's interesting to hear what your answer would be. Does humanity need healing?
Yes. And I also think, though, this is how I want to put it. I think healing is a good way to think about it. And I also, I don't know how to put this right in this moment. Maybe it'll come out as I'm saying this, but I think we need healing, but I think it's important not to stay stuck in healing. That's something that I found people can do. We want to heal to live and then go live. So there's a time and place for healing, and there's an important need for that. Like our bodies, some people who start carnivore, you know, they've been eating like crap for 30 years. It takes them longer to adjust. Their body literally takes longer to heal. And then there's some people who, you know, have few years that they've been eating poorly, and then carnivore happens and things happen really quick for them. It's all different levels and durations of healing. So yes, it's important. That's step one, I would say, or like maybe step two after awareness. And then I think after you get to the healing, it's go live and be happy. And that comes from, healing and then being happy comes from being in the sun, like going outside, being around your friends, you know, having dinners and cooking with people, like literally just being with people, just being happy, I would say, is kind of my answer to that.
It's a great answer. Do you feel like you have more gratitude now that you're healed?
Oh my God. It's insane. Yeah, it's insane. Completely. I really struggled a lot growing up with just how to be. I think I was always naturally confident and stuff like that, but you know, love my mom to death. She was literally the best mom in the world. She and I were best friends, but she was an alcoholic. And like, when you are an alcoholic, you think not so great thoughts. So I had that kind of input. And then my stepmom, she was a severely bipolar. And so I kind of had that from another side, both different houses. And so I didn't learn how to think, you know? And then I think it just took a lot of finding stuff like this, but specifically carnivore for me, and realizing the alcohol wasn't for me thing too. And the combination of the two, it's like my gratitude is insane. It's insane. Like I wake up every single morning, the first thing, I don't cry anymore when I wake up. I wake up and I'm like, wow, I'm so grateful for like how cozy I am in these sheets. And like, it's so comfortable. And like my whole day is, it's so cheesy to talk about, it's like, so, oh my God, eye roll. But really, like, I'm so grateful all the time. And it's not because I'm trying to be, it's just because I am. Do you think you are too?
Absolutely. I get goosebumps hearing you say that because I've interviewed so many carnivores and I always have like preconceived notions. They ate meat, they healed this, but that has been a theme that I didn't expect doing this documentary, is this overwhelming gratitude. We interviewed a woman, Mimi, in South Carolina. She had Parkinson's, full-blown stroke. And she said, I am just overflowing with gratitude. She said, I wake up in the morning just overflowing with joy and gratitude just to look at the sunshine in the morning. And her face is smiling. This is like 100% the truth. I hear it over and over again. And I'm like, what is it? Like, what is causing this? I don't know, but it's a common thing. And then it's kind of awesome too, because it's like, that's how I think most humans would probably be. If they're getting out of the way and doing what is natural and getting sunshine, like you said, and doing natural things. That was my other epiphany on carnivore. It's like, not because I'm eating meat, I'm not eating the junk food, of course, but I'm just doing what is as close to natural as possible, given the options we have in this day and age. I think there isn't much more natural than eating meat and then starting to do the other things like grounding and getting sunshine and things like that. But yeah, that's really cool that you have the gratitude too, because it's been a common theme. It's really awesome.
Life is
so much better with gratitude, right? It's so much
better.
Oh
my God. It's like, and when it comes naturally, when you don't have to force it, right? Like,
right. It's real.
Whoa. You're like, geez, I just really am grateful. Like all the things that people talk about, those gratitude books and all that. It's like, I don't even need that. I just feel it. you know, yeah. I'm just kind of rocking and rolling throughout the day and life's good. That's really cool that you had people say that. I'm so interested to see this documentary and I'm fascinated by, you know, like all the different stories you're compiling. It's just going to be cool to see them all connect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited for it. I'm not patting myself on the back. It's the stories, what you just mentioned, these individual stories, just like yours. You find this and you want the rest of the world to hear it. It's like you want to share that healing with other people. And some of these stories are just so powerful. It's so much bigger than me now. I'm like, I'm just a conduit to get the stories out, but I can't wait to share some of it. It's some of it's just really, really inspiring. And then, like I said, we're learning other things like with the gratitude and things like that. I want to level up. I want a shirt that says I want to be like Dr. Kiltz when I grow up, because I know you're kind of friends with Dr. Kiltz. I was going to ask you, Lauren, who's your favorite doctor and why is it Dr. Kiltz? Because he's up there, right? He's probably one of the top, right?
Yeah, no, I adore Dr. Kiltz. He and I know he's watching this. He'll comment on a lot of my videos and I see them come in and he's just so supportive. No, he's the man. We always, like, whenever we're at conferences, we just hang out with one another. I think we just see a lot of things the same maybe, but he's a good guy, very smart, very intuitive. And he's not just about, like, I think a lot of times with food and nutrition, we're all so headstrong, like the numbers and the data. And like, there's a lot of things out there that are like mystical. You know, there's just a lot. We don't know why we get grateful when we do carnivore. No one can just mathematically come up with that answer. He's the kind of guy who would be open-minded to something like that and be like, yep, there's something there that we don't quite understand. We should pay attention to, you know, and it's not all just what we see is what we get. There's more to it maybe. So yeah, definitely he's up there for sure. I also love Sean Baker. I just think the guy is so freaking funny. He's just so direct.
I'm so happy you said that too, because, I interviewed him in Austin and I've watched a bunch of his videos. I've always liked his stuff, but that was my takeaway too. I'm like, this guy is hilarious. He has these little like one-liners. He was cracking me up. Absolutely.
He just kind of, you know, says it. Like when I went to Last Carnivore, I just walked over to where I thought his booth might be and I didn't know where he was. And then talking to somebody and then out of nowhere, I just kind of looked to my left and, you know, he's huge. And he's just pointing at me, say anything. And he's just like, I'm like, hey, he's like, walk over there. Like, cool. All right. Nice. So yeah. All good awesome. People.
Good stuff. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much, Lauren. So you have an awesome YouTube channel, by the way. Everyone that's watching, go check out Lauren, subscribe. Some of the debates, some of the stuff you have on there, it's just incredible. I really enjoyed watching your channel. Do you have anything else you want to shout out or mention before we wrap up, or any other big videos coming up?
Yeah. No, thank you for mentioning that. My channel is Lauren Knight Hughes. It's long. I know Knight is my last name. So is Hughes. I don't know why they're not hyphenated. but I'd say, yeah, I mean, I really am looking forward to bringing on more, opposing views is really what I like to call them, debates, opposing views. So I've got some more of those coming down the line, as well as a really, really, well, how quickly are you putting this one out here? This video?
It'll probably be in about a week or two.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Then I'm going to have a pretty well-known, keto doctor on there, Dr. Berg, and he and I are talking a lot about, some pretty cool stuff. So I'm excited. Right. He's got like 40 million subscribers or something. Cause he's just that impactful. Yeah. So, that'll be on there soon. And I think it'll help a lot of people too. We talk a lot about ingredients that are harmful and all that, but anything anybody's interested, carnivore or living life without drinking, curious about it, any of that, I'm there to talk about it, because it's like it's reality, and like we can really truly change our whole lives completely just by changing a couple little things, and your whole life changes financially, personally, you know, relationship wise all of it. So if anybody goes there, I'm excited to see them. And yeah, I'm really, really grateful that you had me on, Carrie. This was really cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'll have a link in the description below for Lauren's YouTube channel. So thank you so much.
Thanks.